Welcome into another edition of Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson. Ever since the tragic death of George Floyd in the streets of Minneapolis, Minnesota on Memorial Day, this nation has been swept up in a very prominent front burner dialogue about race. Some of the protesters have been peaceful, others have not, but nonetheless, race is on the minds of everybody, front and center. In the mix of all of this is a fascinating discussion about Margaret Sanger's legacy, the founder of Planned Parenthood based in New York City, and what role she had in contributing toward the racism that America confronts. Brandy Swindell is my guest by telephone line from Boise, Idaho. She is the founder and CEO of Stanton Healthcare and Public Policy Center and has some very truthful statements to make, let's put it that way, about Margaret Sanger and her sad advocacy for racism. Brandy, welcome to Generations.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Margaret Sanger, for those that don't know, is no hero. She's been painted as a hero by the left and as even an advocate for women and women's rights. Tell us, though, about her deep-rooted racism and eugenics commitment and convictions.
So Margaret Sanger, of course, the founder of Planned Parenthood, as many of your listeners know, started Planned Parenthood because of her racism. Planned Parenthood was started so that there could be systematic racism pushed through the organization of Planned Parenthood. Now, when Margaret Sanger originally founded it, it was called the Birth Control Action League, and it was designed to control the birth and the population of people that she deemed unfit. Okay, so it was eugenics. She had a whole list of people that she considered to be unfit. Ultimately, she found people that had a lot of kids to be unfit. They were ignorant and stupid. Who would want to have more than one or two children? So ultimately, I know a lot of the listeners of this wonderful podcast are from the faith community, many of them part of the homeschool families. Ultimately, Margaret Sanger couldn't stand large families. She would have hated the current homeschool family and movement because her belief were people that had any sort of disability, anybody who had any kind of mental challenges were considered unfit. But the top of her list, at the top of her list were what she called Negroes. She had what she called the Negro Project, and that was to sterilize people of color, and that was to get rid of those that were not of the perfect white race. And it sounds so unbelievable to say that, but that is the reality of what Planned Parenthood's founder believed. She believed that Black people were unfit, and she wanted to rid the world of Black babies from being able to populate the earth.
Margaret Sanger said this in 1922, "Slavs, Latin, and Hebrew immigrants are human weeds, a dead weight of human waste. Blacks, soldiers, and Jews are a menace to the race." She also said the most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. These quotes are so horrendous, it's almost as if someone in Hollywood made them up to present a two-dimensional evil dictator. But this is Margaret Sanger, and this is why George Grant wrote the very famous book called Killer Angel, which I highly recommend Generations listeners get a hold of by way of Amazon. It's a paperback, it's short, it's about 150 pages. You will know more than you've ever wanted to know about Margaret Sanger, but really you need to know. You need to educate yourself. Margaret Sanger, though, Brandy, we need to emphasize, did not occur in a vacuum. She was very connected to a European evolutionary model that Charles Darwin left us and really took a page from the playbook of Adolf Hitler himself. Now, he himself was able to oversee the extermination of 6 million Jews and millions more because they didn't pass muster with him. She did it in a much more cloaked way through aborting the babies of those that she did not want to see populate on the planet. But they were both identical in advocacy of genocide, weren't they?
Absolutely. And you pointed that out so well, that there was a horrific belief system that created the whole concept of what we saw in Hitler's Germany during the Holocaust, which was the systematic destruction of human life that was deemed unworthy by such an evil and vicious ruler. Margaret Sanger and members of her group and people who served on her board of the Birth Control Population League, okay, Birth Control Population League, that was the name of it, before it became Planned Parenthood, they applauded some of Hitler's population control methods. How sinister and disturbing that Margaret Sanger came up with the idea that before it becomes too messy and obvious, why don't we do it before the babies can even be born, before the people that she deemed unfit can even be born? And let's cloak it in this concept that this is actually good for society, and this is actually good for women, and this is actually good for families. Talk about the ultimate deception from the pit of hell.
And more than that, that it was good for the black family. In order for the black family to be more upwardly mobile, economically speaking, she was presenting abortion as the way to secure their economic future rather than being weighed down by the burden of another child, which, of course, Christians understand through Psalm 127, 3 through 5, children are a blessing, a reward, but she perceived them to be a burden. And she literally co-opted the black pastors of her time, part of the Negro Project, to advocate from the pulpits, no less, people that were the most trusted figureheads in the community, the black pastor who presumably was preaching and standing upon the word of God, but was really being co-opted by Margaret Sanger's whisper in the ear, much like Satan in the Garden of Eden, the lies from the pit of hell that you need to tell the women in your congregation they'll be better off if they abort those babies. Have you had a chance to delve into how it was that so many of these black pastors were themselves co-opted? I mean, did she pay them? How did that even work?
Isn't it interesting that Margaret Sanger understood the power and the influence of pastors? Sometimes I don't even know if some of our modern day pastors understand how important the pulpit is.
Wow.
Margaret Sanger did.
Wow,
right?
Brandy,
she
that
knew
is,
how important it was.
That is a huge light bulb moment.
Isn't
I've
it?
Never thought about
right?
that. Yeah.
Right? Even she understood the power of the church, the power of the pastors, the power of the pulpit. And so, you know, it's just a reminder for our pastors today and our churches today that they can affect change and that they can promote truth, and that that pulpit is so powerful that even the wicked understand. Even they understand how it can be used. While Margaret Sanger was courting the pastors and the churches, she was also accepting invitations to speak at Ku Klux Klan meetings. And
wow.
That is well documented as well. Isn't
Talk
that
about a double life.
Now, exactly. Talk about a double life. Now, a good friend of mine, she is a wonderful leader in the pro-life movement, Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She and I have had discussions, and she's written on this, on how some of these black pastors and leaders would allow Margaret Sanger to speak at churches, or that they would promote some of her racist beliefs. And so much of it was deception. They were deceived. Margaret Sanger would come and present them with awards, then use their pulpit. And
flattery will get you everywhere.
Exactly. And many of them did not fully recognize what she was speaking and spewing, because it was done in such a manipulative and conniving way. It's like any predator does, you know, or any perpetrator does.
An angel of light.
Yeah, an angel of light. And there's a grooming process that goes on, and there's deception that goes on. And there's, like you said, charm and flattery that goes on. And it's kind of this slow burn that many of them did not realize at the time what and who they were actually partnering with.
Well, let me tell you where we are in 2020. Since 1973's Roe v. Wade decision, 20 million black babies have been killed by abortion. Now, blacks only represent, according to the census, 13% of the U.S. population, but they're having nearly 40% of all abortions. That's an astounding stat. Of course, white and Hispanic and Asian American and every other group are guilty as charged of murder, and we all have blood on our hands because there is no race that is choosing life 100% of the time, but it is disturbing to look at the actual raw data that out of the 13% population being black, they represent 40% of all abortions.
Many of the Planned Parenthood abortion clinics are set up in minority areas. There's millions and millions of dollars spent on marketing campaigns to target the African-American woman and the woman of color to deceive them into thinking that abortion is what is going to give them freedom and socioeconomic freedom and give them a path out of poverty or whatever sort of painful life they might be dealing with living in some of these areas, the Chicago and different places where there's gun violence and all these different things. It's a very targeted campaign still to this day. Well, talk about systematic racism.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, Planned Parenthood has built 3 mega abortion mills in black neighborhoods that are 10,000 square feet or larger in Richmond, Virginia, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Birmingham, Alabama. And you add to that something that Alveda King herself said. You cited her before, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. She said in New York City, more black babies are aborted than born. It's not racist, she says, to point out this truth. It is racist to perpetuate this genocide. And there we come full circle to Margaret Sanger's legacy. You and I and most of our listeners throughout America and around the world listening to Generations Radio right now know the truth about Margaret Sanger. But sadly, the mainstream media and Planned Parenthood themselves have been obviously reluctant to admit to her roots, her racist roots, until just recently. Something very interesting happened. And before we talk about what happened at Planned Parenthood of New York City, we're going to take a quick time out with that suspenseful note. I'm Adam McManus. You're listening to Generations Radio. I'm in for Kevin Swanson. We'll be right back with Brandi Swindell. She's the founder and CEO of Stanton Healthcare and Public Policy Center with Stanton Healthcare Clinics, these wonderful life-affirming medical clinics offering free STD testing and ultrasounds and 18 months of wellness care in Detroit, Michigan, the Pasadena, California area, Boise, Idaho, and Belfast, Northern Ireland. We'll be right back.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Welcome back to Generations Radio. I'm Adam McManus in for Kevin Swanson. We left you before the break with a massive cliffhanger of what did Planned Parenthood of New York City recently decide to do? And before we tell you that, your Republican Congressman Russ Fulcher of Idaho sent a powerful letter to Lonnie Bunch, who heads up the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C. And he asked the Smithsonian to consider something that I think is long overdue. What did he ask him to do?
Yes, Congressman Russ Fulcher from the great state of Idaho, wonderful pro-life congressman who's serving his second year in the United States Congress, is joined with the efforts of the Stanton Public Policy Center to call for the removal of the Margaret Sanger bust in the Smithsonian Portrait Gallery. We've just pointed out all the different ways that it is blatantly obvious that Margaret Sanger is a racist, that Planned Parenthood is a racist organization, and Planned Parenthood throughout the years has refused to denounce Margaret Sanger as a racist, and in fact has handed out on an annual basis what they call the Maggie Award, which is in honor of Margaret Sanger, the Maggie Award. And so we felt in our hearts, and several other groups, including some African-American pro-life groups, have been working for years calling on Planned Parenthood to denounce Margaret Sanger. And so we felt it was really important that a federally funded museum, the Smithsonian, which is designed to celebrate America and the wonderful aspects of American culture and history, why on earth would taxpayers be funding the bust of Margaret Sanger, which was a completely racist woman who founded a completely racist organization? And so that was a letter from Congressman Fulcher sending a letter asking for the removal.
For those of you who've been to Washington, D.C. with your families and traveled around, maybe even been to the Museum of the Bible, the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, the Smithsonian Institution, there are several buildings, but the primary one is located right across the mall from the National History Museum, if you can kind of visualize that in your head. So that was the letter that Congressman Russ Fulcher of Idaho sent to Lonnie Bunch, the head of the Smithsonian Institution, to immediately remove the Margaret Sanger bust from the National Portrait Gallery there at the Smithsonian. He sent that letter in May, but nothing happened. Here is where we come back to our cliffhanger. Something dramatic happened at the Planned Parenthood New York City office. Tell us what they did.
New York City is where Margaret Sanger worked and lived during her time with her radical and extreme agenda. She was honored at the Planned Parenthood in New York City, which is a very prominent Planned Parenthood and one of their flagship centers. They actually had what they called the Margaret Sanger Square, which was the area in front of the Planned Parenthood, and it was a place to honor their founder and the legacy of Margaret Sanger. And there was a street sign that actually said Margaret Sanger Street. They just recently came out with the current climate we have and everything that's going on surrounding the discussion of racism in our nation. It backed Planned Parenthood up against a corner, and Planned Parenthood of New York City finally admitted that Margaret Sanger was a racist and that it was long overdue that their organization denounced her, and they were no longer going to call the area in front of their Planned Parenthood Margaret Sanger Square. And that is so significantly huge. I can't even tell you how long we've been working on exposing this. And finally, they were forced to acknowledge the racist foundings of their organization and denounce Margaret Sanger.
When did they make that decision?
So this decision was made this summer, 2020, in July.
I am intrigued by how nuanced the language is in their press release. And this is what they said, quote, "The removal of Margaret Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions to historical reproductive harm within communities of color." You have to wade through this statement to really feel the full import of it. They never use the term racist. They never say she was an advocate for black babies to die by abortion. They say the removal of Margaret Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions to historical reproductive harm within communities of color. It's obviously a huge admission on their part, but aren't you intrigued by how they wordsmith this?
Well, there's two reasons, 100%, Adam, but there's two reasons. Number one, it's Planned Parenthood, and they sanitize everything they do. They sanitize the killing of innocent babies by calling it a woman's choice. That's exactly right. They use all these funny words and all this trickery and all this deceptive language That's why, exactly, smoke and mirrors. That's why millions of Americans, do you know that there are studies that show that there are still Americans that have no idea that Planned Parenthood does abortions? They have no idea, because the language is designed to make it sound like all they're really doing is helping women, and they're experts in women's health. And so it's all this deceptive language we have to weed through. So number one, Planned Parenthood sanitizes everything that they do. So even when they're denouncing their racist founder, they're going to sanitize it. And number two, do you want to know why they're being so careful? Yeah, I know. Even with the, I mean, won't you, you're just supposed to come out and say, it was a racist founder. She wanted to kill black babies. How disgusting we were ever a part of that. You
yes.
know, but no, they have to sanitize it. They have to dance around
they,
it. Which,
and
which
how could they do that
in
without
itself.
Indicting themselves in their ongoing advocacy and destruction of babies in the womb? That's why they have to say it the way they said it.
That's why. That was the second point I was going to make. If they are too clear on it, people will very easily be able to go, well, A
Hello.
Goes to B, step one, step two. What, if you were founded by a racist organization, are you maybe still racist and aborting black babies at an extremely high number? And that's exactly what's happening. So they had to
wow.
be very careful and wrestle with those words and manipulate their words so that they in no way were indicting themselves currently as being a racist organization. And Adam, that's the next step. Is us not stopping until every baby is safe, and not stopping until Planned Parenthood is exposed for what they are. And that is that they are baby killing abortion mills, and that they have a specific target of going after babies of color in the womb. Mm. They'll go after any baby at all. But it is so disturbing how extremely targeted they are, as we discussed earlier in the program, going after women of color and babies of color. And it's such a double standard in our world right now that the liberal media and the elites and the Democratic National Party and the left are giving Planned Parenthood a free pass when they should be the very first group to be exposed for their systematic racism. Adam, I don't support tearing down statues and erasing history, but let me tell you, if there is any statue that needs to be removed, it's the one that the American taxpayers being forced to pay for that celebrates a racist woman like Margaret Sanger. That needs to go, and it needs to be, that it should have been the very first one that anybody determined should be removed.
My guest is Brandi Swindell. She's the founder and CEO of Stanton Healthcare and Public Policy Center. And I love your quote. You said, the question must be asked, why is the National Portrait Gallery refusing to remove Margaret Sanger's display when the organization Sanger founded, Planned Parenthood, felt it a, quote, necessary and overdue step, end quote, to remove her? It is unconscionable that an avowed racist and eugenicist be featured so prominently in one of our nation's most prestigious public museums, end quote. Brandi, they need to put that in some kind of bronze display itself. That's so good.
I know, right? Isn't it?
I mean, that says
right?
it all. That shows the absolute. If Margaret Sanger's own organization, Planned Parenthood, is embarrassed by Margaret Sanger, then certainly the Smithsonian should be embarrassed by Margaret Sanger. In a post-George Floyd America.
Exactly. It is long overdue. This display needs to be removed, and we're going to keep the pressure on. We believe that we are going to see its removal, but it's going to take everybody being a part of removing the display.
I want to give the phone number for the Smithsonian. I hope you'll get a pen and paper handy, because I'm going to give it out in just a moment. But first, I want to put all of this into its proper biblical context. Psalm 139, 13 through 16 could not be more clear about what God thinks about the precious preborn children in the womb. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I think of Jeremiah 1 verse 5, where God said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, we learn about the seven things that God hates, that he finds detestable, and one of them is the shedding of innocent blood. And getting to the issue of race and this outrageous eugenics worldview that came down from Charles Darwin, that somehow we evolved from the primordial soup and that blacks are somehow subhuman, to be treated as animals. Genesis 1 verse 27 speaks clearly against the eugenics evolutionary nonsense of Adolf Hitler and Margaret Sanger, rejects their racism, because we read, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." So if we are all created in God's image, no matter the color or pigmentation of our skin, no matter our ethnicity, we are all equally treasured. We are all equally cherished. We are all equally valuable in the eyes of God. Before I give you that phone number for the Smithsonian and a request to speak directly to Lonnie Bunch, who is the head honcho there, I return in stark contrast to the biblical text you just heard me read to Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who said, "Slavs, Latin, and Hebrew immigrants are human weeds, a dead weight of human waste. Blacks, soldiers, and Jews are a menace to the race." And again, think back on Adolf Hitler. He also despised Jews. She was a fan of his eugenics worldview. And Margaret Sanger also said, "We do not want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." I don't think there's a more racist thing ever said by anyone in American history than that we want to exterminate the Negro population. I don't even think the KKK ever said something like that. They look like they are Al Sharpton next to this statement, don't they, by contrast?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
So here's the number. Please jot it down, call it, and ask for Secretary Lonnie Bunch's office. Be polite, yet firm, and ask for the removal of Margaret Sanger's bust in the National Portrait Gallery. That's what you're asking for, the removal of Margaret Sanger's bust in the National Portrait Gallery at the Smithsonian, which is tax-funded. And that's the critical point in all this. These are your tax dollars. These are my tax dollars. We don't want them abused that way, putting on a pedestal a woman who was an avowed racist and an advocate for abortion and death for blacks or Hispanics or people of color or Jews or fill in the blank. Here's the number, 202-633-1000. Call 202-633-1000. And for those of you who would like to send a letter, you can send a letter to Lonnie Bunch, Smithsonian, P.O. Box 37012, P.O. Box 37012, Washington, D.C., 20013. Again, you can send a letter to Lonnie Bunch, Smithsonian, P.O. Box 37012, Washington, D.C., 20013. Or you can call 202-633-1000. That's 202-633-1000. Remember that we are representing God, so we want to be polite, and yet we want to be clear. We do not want to honor Margaret Sanger at taxpayer expense in the Smithsonian. It's really that simple. We just need to be clear that we reject her racism, we reject her abortion advocacy, and America is better than this. America is better than Margaret Sanger. Even Planned Parenthood, the very organization she founded, acknowledged that.
I appreciate you inviting your listeners to call. That's really important and critical to the project.
Brandy, before we let you go, how can people get a hold of you? What's your website if people would like to learn more about the Stanton Healthcare Clinics?
For people to find out more information on the work of Stanton, we have two websites. Number one, stantoninternational.org. I invite your listeners to go to StantonInternational.org. They can find out about our healthcare clinics and all the wonderful things we're doing to bring an end to abortion violence and to bring hope to women facing unexpected pregnancies. And then also in part of our work to expose the abortion industry and projects like removing the Margaret Sanger bust, we have a campaign called the Purple Sash Revolution Campaign. So people can go to purplesashrevolution.com, purplesashrevolution.com. We have a petition that can be signed that's going to go to Speaker Pelosi and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, asking them to renounce abortion and to end infanticide. We know it's a long shot, but we're going to keep the pressure on to expose the radical left in the abortion industry on how radical they are in their love and embrace of abortion. And so we invite people to go to those two websites, StantonInternational.org and PurpleSashRevolution.com. People can order a purple sash that says equal rights for preborn women. And on the back, it says hashtag end infanticide.
The website is PurpleSash, S-A-S-H, Revolution.com. That's purplesashrevolution.com. Brandy, would you be kind enough to close us in prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness in our lives, for your love and your redemption and the hope, Lord, that you sent through Jesus Christ, your Son, Father. And that's what this broken and hurting world needs, is they need hope, they need compassion, truth, and justice that can only come from you. So Lord, we thank you for your word that is our guide. We thank you for your truth that your Holy Spirit allows us to boldly speak and proclaim. And Father, we just pray that in our nation and in our world, we would see an end to abortion and the innocent lives that are taken through the destruction of abortion, Lord, that that would no longer be a reality, God. And we know, Father, you call us to be your servants, to be ambassadors of your truth, no matter the cost. And so, Father, give us the boldness and the strength to continue on carrying your message of redemptive hope and love here in our nation and in the world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And if you'd like to send me an email with reaction to this particular broadcast, our conversation with Brandy Swindell about the removal, we hope, of Margaret Sanger's bust out of the National Portrait Gallery in the Smithsonian, you can send your email to adam@theworldview.com. adam@theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus, in for Kevin Swanson, as we lay down a vision for the next generation.